I preached a sermon last Saturday night or two Saturday nights ago at the church I started and turned over to somebody else, and where our headquarters is at. It was 1 minute. The whole sermon. You were there? It's 1 minute long. That was a miracle. It really was. 1 minute. That's all preached. It was 1 minute. Can I preach it right now? I don't think so. Because I don't think that's what I'm supposed to do. I want to speak to you tonight on the subject of four levels of faith. The title is really a misnomer because that's the title I thought it was going to be. I was sitting one day and meditating. I felt like the Lord said he's going to give me a new sermon. And four stories came to mind. I had to look them up where they were at. And I knew about, but they ended up, I found them all in one gospel. So we're going to look in the gospel of Mark tonight. And in these four stories, every one of you will be able to identify with one of these people. Your condition, your place in God, your place in faith will be able to be identified with one of these four. And so everybody is going to be applicable for everybody. And I believe, and this is what I must want to communicate, that because God is in our midst, because there's an anointing here already, that there's going to be healing while I'm preaching. I'm actually going to stop and we're going to pray four times for healing during the sermon. And after each prayer, we'll see how many were healed. And it's going to be, you will be able to identify with one of these four people before we get done. And so having said that, I felt like the Lord, I put the title because it's all about different levels of faith. So I put four levels of faith. And then I looked at, well, wait a minute, Lord, all of them got healed. Whether they had great big faith or just a little bit of faith, they all got healed. I thought this was about a lesson about faith. And it's like the Holy Spirit said, that's what you thought. But that's not the point of this message. I said, well, Lord, what is it? He said, read those stories again and see what they all had in common. So I read them again and I said, well, they all were sick and they all needed to be healed. He said, yeah, but that's not it. So I was reading it some more and I said, Lord, what they had in common was they had the opportunity to be in your presence with their sickness. And he said, that's the point of this message. Healing in the presence. So, it's not going to be that long, but just let me suffice to say there is healing in the presence. I mentioned to you about the guy that got healed when the glory cloud, was that here? The glory cloud in North Carolina? Was that the other place as that last few days ago? Anybody remember the glory cloud story? If not, I didn't tell it. No. Okay. All right. Anyway, this glory cloud came in North Carolina in Raleigh, and it was like a pillar. It had red, silver, gold, and green in it, and there's a whole lot of peace. But anyway, on this side of the church where it's at, when we began to pray, there's three or four times as many people got healed on this side as this side. The only difference was this is the side. The cloud was, they were close to the cloud. There was an older man who was in the Korean War, and he had been deaf since the Korean War. He was sitting right in front of the cloud. Nobody prayed for him. His ears for 50 years deafness left. Why? Because he was close to the glory. Heidi Baker was doing a meeting and the glory cloud came and there was people mocking him around the perimeter. Muslim clerics, witch doctors and Muslims were is up in northern Mozambique Muslim area and they were making fun and mocking. And then the glory cloud came. It was a bright cloud that came on him, so bright that Mark DuPont couldn't read, to see to read. And he said, Heidi, you're going to have to preach. And when the glory cloud came down, everybody fell to the ground, including the witch doctors, including the Muslim clerics, including the Muslims that was mocking them, making fun, and trying to put curses on them. The cloud came down, and everybody fell. And when the cloud lifted, there was not one sick person in their midst. Every healing had been healed without anybody praying for anything. And there was no unbelievers, no witch doctors, no Muslim clerics left because everybody now believed in Jesus Christ. It was a sovereign healing. And that ends the old theological debate about free will or sovereignty, unconditional election and irresistible grace that the Arminians say it is resistible. You do have a free will. And the Calvinists say, no, it's not. The answer I have found, when the glory cloud comes, the Calvinists are right. It's irresistible. When a glory cloud's not there, you got enough willpower to resist. Then Doug Oss was a former leader for the Assemblies of God, and he taught a professor down in Springfield, Missouri. He told me once, Pensacola broke out, some guys came, caught the anointing. They went to this church. That night, he said, the glory came, and all over the place, people started being healed of everything, with no one praying, just sovereign healings. And in a matter of minutes, everybody was healed. That's what happens when the degree of his presence is so manifest. I preached this message for the first time in India. And as I was getting ready to preach it, the Lord showed me a picture. And in the picture, something happened to me when I was in Argentina. I was with Omar Cabrera Jr., and Omar's mother was leading the service. And she kept saying multiple times during the service, I want everybody to stand. I want everybody to pray with me this prayer. Repeat it after me. And she would say the prayer, and everybody in the whole place would repeat it. And after a while, I said, Omar, I don't understand. Is everybody here Christian? He said, oh, no, we have a lot of lost people here. But your mom keeps saying, everybody pray this prayer. He said, yes, that's my mom's theory. If she can get people who don't know Jesus yet to begin praying to him about things, then at the end of the service, they're going to be much easier to pray the prayer of repentance. And so this was the vision I had, and it ended. And I knew immediately what it meant, that I was to get the Hindus to praying to Jesus for their healing before the invitation came at the end. Now, I want you to picture this. This was a place, this is the night that we had about 100,000 people. It's the largest crowd I've ever preached to. And this was the message the Lord had given me. And I'm not going to take as much time with it, because I would actually pray twice. I'd pray for the specific thing, and then I'd pray for the degree of faith, if that wasn't the specific thing you had, but that's where your faith was at. Tonight, I'm going to truncate it into just one prayer for each of these stories. But anyway, and that night, you could hear these 100,000, 90% of them were Hindus, unsaved, crying out on the name of Jesus to be healed. And to see that night, half of them were healed. And then a third of them accepted him as their Savior. I'll never forget it. Now, they believed me when I said, I believe the Lord has told me his presence is going to be here in our midst tonight. I hope you can believe me now when I say his presence is here. There's been the presence of God moving through this meeting, and there's been healings. So I hope you have the same kind of faith, as much faith as those unbelieving Hindus had. I trust, really, you have more. Because the Lord was saying, this message is not really about faith. This message is about my presence. So if you turn with me to the 9th chapter of Mark, and we find the first level of faith that we're talking about. It's the man whose son was demonized. The disciples had tried to cast the demon out. They were not able to cast the demon out. And so Jesus asked the Father, asked the boy's father in verse 21, how long has he been like this? The man said, from childhood, he's answered. It's often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if, I want you to watch this, but if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. The level of this man's faith is very small. If you can do anything is what he says. And watch what Jesus encourages him. He says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And then Jesus healed the boy, cast the demon out, and the boy was healed. When you have pain that moves when you get prayed for, or gets worse when you're prayed for, if you have pain that does not, that doctors cannot diagnose it or determine what it is, they can't figure out what's causing it. If you have pain that the medication that should help doesn't, if you have pain that gets worse when you come to church or in the best services, all of a sudden you get more aware of the symptoms of it, If you have pain that when people pray for you, it moves or it gets worse. Almost all of those circumstances is because your problem is caused by an afflicting spirit. Now, if you think in light of that definition, your condition may be caused by an afflicting spirit, I want you to stand up. Now, if you're here tonight and you do not think your problem is an afflicting spirit, but either because of the tradition you're from or maybe you don't even know Jesus yet, but your level of faith is really, you can identify with this man when he came to Jesus and said, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And you say, you know, my faith really is weak. It's like, God, if you can do anything. If you sense that's kind of where you're at, would you stand up with those that's already standing? Just be totally honest. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes. Everyone is standing. Remain standing. And I want you to pray. And as I said to those Hindus, I wanted them to be able to hear us a block away. It was a witness to the whole city. I want you to pray loudly. I want you to say this. I'll say it first and you say it after me once I've completed it. Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on me and heal me. Now, everybody.
Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on me and heal me.
I want to speak on behalf of Jesus from the Word of God to you. If I can do anything, all things are possible to him who believes. Now I'd like for you to pray. Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
Help my unbelief.
Help my unbelief.
Now, Father, I pray for them in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask that very thing. You'd help their unbelief. And I bless them. And Jesus touched them. And the boy was healed. So right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of affliction to leave. I break your power. I cancel your assignment. And I command you to leave now. And I bless the people that are standing and those who struggled with their faith. I pray that they would be aware that your presence is here. They had the opportunity to be in the place of God where the presence of God is at. And Lord, I pray now in Jesus' name for healing to flow into their bodies in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to check your bodies out and see if the pain left, things improved, you got healed of something else. I know some of you have already been healed of one thing tonight. And some of you may say, well, I don't, what I have, I can't prove it. I'd have to go to the doctor and know for sure I was healed. But if there was a witness of the power of God that touched your body when you stood in this time of prayer, or if you can tell I've been healed, or there's a sense of, like I just said, the presence, the power was on you, and you believe that it's done. Or you might have felt just something lift off of you if you believe that you were healed. And there's some, since I know that there's been healing happen to me tonight, in this prayer I just prayed, I want you to do this. One, two, three, four. Okay. Now I want the rest of you to believe that before we get done, because the last thing we're going to do is see who got healed during the whole sermon. Because that was just a few seconds. I want you to believe and expect as we continue down this message that your healing is going to manifest before we get to the end of the message. And we'll get to see it at the end. You may be seated. Now, the second level of faith is more faith than this man had. And it's found in Mark, the first chapter of Mark's gospel, in beginning in verse 40 and 41. This is a man who has leprosy. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean," and immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. How many of you have something wrong with your skin? A skin disorder of any kind? Would you stand up? We had a woman in my church who had psoriasis so bad, and psoriasis is hereditary, and it's also genetic. It's caused by your skin producing too many skin cells, and then them scaling on the top because there's too many of them, and there's no cure for it. And she had had it her whole life. Now look at this: the least that she ever had it, the least was it covered 20% of her body. The most was it got to 90% at a time. We're praying for her, and I feel like the Lord said, tell her within 30 days she'll be clean. And she was. It's miraculous. Now, some of you may be able to know very quickly. Others, it may be over this next days or even a month. But some, I think it may be an itching. It may be, I just thought, shingles is not a skin thing, but it's in the skin. It's a nerve thing, but it affects the skin. And there may be some that will know. You're going to be able to tell that there's been a difference, or the itching, or whatever it may be. But I believe that we're going to get reports of healing from this that we won't know tonight, but some of you will. Now, this man's faith, unlike the other man, didn't say, if you can do anything. He said this: Jesus, if you're willing, you can. He knows healing, Jesus can heal. His problem is not faith that Jesus can do something. His problem is faith that Jesus is willing to do it. And he says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. So I'm going to ask all of you that you would say, when it comes to healing, your faith level, the issue for you, you believe God can. You just don't know if he wants to heal you. It's an issue of trying to know, is it the will of God to heal me? If that's you, would you stand up with these that's already standing? If you need to be healed. Now, you know, I normally would have done this in two separate prayers, but we're trying to make it shorter. Here's what I want you to pray. I want you to close your eyes and picture that Jesus Christ is right in front of you. And because in faith he is. And I want you to pray this prayer. Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. Because some of you need more than skin. Would you say that out loud? Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. I am willing, Jesus said. Hear that. I am willing. Now, Father, I bless them, and I pray that the hand of Jesus, the touch of Jesus, would come down upon them. I bless their skin. I bless any condition they have. And I pray in the name of Jesus, they would know and sense the presence of God is touching them. Psoriasis, eczema, that one that's got the R, starts with an R, Ros or something, rosacea, Lord, shingles, dry skin, Lord, skin of the hands that just have way too much perspiration in them, and the person could be embarrassed because their hands are always sweaty, and can be like, not oil, but Lord, that's a skin issue. God, I'm praying in the name of Jesus for every skin disorder as a sign of your power and your glory. We believe you're here. Lord, we believe not only you're here, but you have your entourage with you. And we bless the people. Let them hear you say, I am willing. Let it go from their head to their heart. He's willing. Tonight's the night. He's willing. I bless them in Jesus' name. I bless them in Jesus' name. Let that woman that said my thing wasn't called out, let her know, yes, it was. And you're willing to heal her right now. In Jesus' name. God, I pray that we move them out of hope into faith. Move them out of the future into now. Tonight's the night. In Jesus' name. Now, I want you to check your body out. And again, some of it's going to be later. There's going to be a whole lot more healed than what we're going to know right now. But I believe there's some people, you know you were healed of something. Because this just wasn't skin. This is other things too. If you were healed of something tonight in that prayer, I want you to wave both hands above your head. Something happened. Something's corrected. Yes, she did get her healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Any others? You felt the power of God touch you, and you believe that healing has occurred, though you may have to wait to get it proven. Just wave your hands. There's another and another and another and another and another and another. Just both hands, if that's what you feel God did. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. About 15. Can you help me keep track? Tonight, and this thing, then a message. Okay, you may be seated. So with the first man says, if you can do anything, he has so little faith. The second man says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But the next faith is great faith. We've gone from weak faith to great faith. And it's the woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5. And she said, she had been sick for 12 years. She spent all the money she had on doctors, and she was no better. And maybe there's some of you that you've got something really serious, and you've spent a lot of money, or the insurance spent a lot of money. But you're really not getting better. But she had a blood problem. She was hemorrhaging. And she said to herself, not if he can do anything, not even if he's willing. She said, if I can get to him, if I could get to where he's at, if I could get so close that I could just touch him, even for a moment, just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made clean. I'll be made whole. And she pushed her way through the crowd, risked her own life because it was illegal for her to be out in public with her condition. Weak in state, pushed the crowd, and she touched the hem of his garment, and he felt power go out of him. Turns out, who touched me? Because a lot of people were touching him, but she's the one who touched him in faith, and virtue went out. And she perceived in her body that she was healed. And the Bible says in one of the parallels that she came trembling in fear. I think she was trembling in fear because she was trembling and couldn't hide herself. Because she realized, I can't hide myself in this crowd. Because she's the only one standing like this. She's trembling in fear, but yeah, she's trembling. Because the virtue that flew out of him is touching her. If you have something wrong with your blood, AIDS, hepatitis A, B, C, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, any type of disease carried in the blood, anemia, too much fat in the blood, fatty tissue, fatty stuff, high cholesterol, whatever it may be, something's wrong with your blood, I want you to stand up. Now, I also want to ask those who are here who need a healing, and you're not characterized if God can do anything, if Jesus can do anything. You're not even characterized by if he's willing. You know he's willing, and you believe he can heal. But some of you just felt like tonight, if I can just be touched by him, or if I can touch him tonight, I know I'll be healed. And you really thought tonight would be that night. And you sensed that there's this chance that you could now touch the hem of his garment, be touched by his presence. Will you stand with these that already are? I'm going to ask you to do the same thing I asked the people in India to do. I said, I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture Jesus, the Son of God, walking just in front of you. And as you're in your heart purposing, this is my chance, that I want you to extend. If you're right-handed, your right hand. If you're left-handed, your left hand. I want you to extend your hand, keep your eyes closed, and with a believing expectancy, believe by faith that you're going to touch him. And when you touch him in this act of faith, his virtue is going to flow into you, and people are going to get healed. Picture him right in front of you. And reach out, lean a little bit, like you got to reach in to touch him. Now, Father, as they're leaning in to touch you. I'm asking for this virtue to be released to him. This anointing that flowed out of Jesus into that woman to now flow into them, and healing to come to their bodies in the name of Jesus. Healing in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. She perceived she was healed. God, in the name of Jesus, I bless them. I bless them. I speak healing, a word of healing over them. I pray, God, your power go into them. Heal their bodies in Jesus, because we believe, Jesus, by the Spirit, you're here. More. 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 Now, some of you, looks like you got a hold of him. By faith, you can receive this. Now, I want you to check your body out. Now, some of you say, how am I going to know if it's blood? My blood pressure, how am I going to know? I saw one guy, he felt like he just got flushed, like somebody flushed a commode. He just, like, his color changed and then came back the other way. Other people literally felt something burning inside of them, like a chemotherapy treatment going through their blood, but it was the glory of God purifying them. Father, I'm going to pray some more. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless the liver, and I bless the blood, and I come against any sexually transmitted diseases. I come against AIDS. I come against HIV, the precursor of AIDS. I come against hepatitis A, B, and C. I pray that the power, the purifying power of God would go through the liver and go through the heart and go through the whole circulatory system in Jesus' name. Lord, in Jesus' name, I command high blood pressure to come down, low blood pressure to come up. I bless the iron that there not be anemia. God, we bless the blood in every way, and every disease would be healed. People would be healed of every disease. In Jesus' name, especially those that are born by the blood. Now, if you felt the power of God come, touch you, and you can, there's something that's different. Or if you felt the power of God touch you, and you have to get a blood test to know that you were healed, but there was a strong sense of the presence and power of God going through you, and you honestly believe, I believe that was the power of God, the touching me and healing me. I want to make this in two waves. If you can know you're healed because you can do something, your pain left, something changed, I want you to wave both hands over your head. One, two, three, four, now, five. Now, you felt the power of God, but you can't know you were healed because you weren't. You'll have to go to the doctor to get it proven. But there was a witness of his power. Healing virtue touched your body. I want you to do this as well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Okay, 23. Okay, you can be seated. We're almost done. This is a short message for me. The last person has, in my opinion, the greatest faith of all. The first person said, if you can do anything. The second person said, if you're willing. The third person said, if I can touch him. But this man doesn't have the ability to touch him. This man's blind. He can't find his way to Jesus. He's got to trust that one day, oh God, may it be so. Because I can't even find my way to Jesus. I'm blind. May it be so that just one day I'd be in the right place at the right time. And I would hear that the Master's passing by. His name is Bartimaeus in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And he yelled out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And one of the disciples, meaning well, went over and hushed him. Shh, be still. He yelled out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because he knew that he's got a limited opportunity here. He's got to be heard before he passes by and is on the other way. There's just a matter of a few minutes in this crowd. And he had to yell loud because there's a lot of people around Jesus. He's yelling to Thomas, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus heard him. And the disciple had told him to be still. And Jesus said, go get that man. In my mind, he probably asked the same disciple that told him to be still. But no, that's eisegesis, not exegesis. That's reading into it, but it makes it more fun that way for me to think that. And that's just kind of the irony of God sometimes. And so he goes back to the Bartimaeus and said, listen to this. I want to show you a powerful illustration you'll never forget if you pay attention right now. This is blind Bartimaeus. He needs to be healed. He's hoped that Jesus would pass by. He's wanted to be healed. He's heard the report of Jesus healing other people. That's why he cried out. But he doesn't know if he's going to stop for him. And then a man comes, a disciple, not Jesus, but a disciple of Jesus, and says, he's calling you. That's what a word of knowledge is. Let that soak in. That's what a word of knowledge is. He's calling you. And what happens? This blind man who has his cloak on, this cloak is given to him by the religious officials that says, when you see this cloak, it means this is the legitimate beggar worthy of receiving your alms. This is the first century Jewish equivalent of a Social Security disability program. Seriously. And this is why it's so important to catch this little nuance that Mark tells us. It says, he got up and threw his cloak aside. That was an act of faith. He got up. He said, he's calling you. All right, he's calling me. I don't need this anymore. If he's calling me, I am healed. It is a done deal. I'm healed. Now, he wasn't seeing it, but he knew he was going to be healed. That's why he threw his Social Security check down to the ground. I don't need it anymore. I used to be Bartimaeus, the blind man, but I'm going to be Bartimaeus, the healed man. And so they took him to Jesus. And I can just imagine the expectation because he's heard about what Jesus did. And what Jesus has done. And what built faith in Bartimaeus was the other people talking about what Jesus had done for them. You want to create a culture of healing in this area. You got to talk about what Jesus has done. And it doesn't have to be you. Anytime you hear of a story, somebody in your church getting healed, you tell people about it. All of you tell. It's all of your testimony. And as the people are talking about what Jesus is doing, that talk, that sharing will create faith. That's why in Redding, California right now, there's been so much talking going on that when unbelieving beauticians hear that one of their clients has got cancer, the unbelieving people who don't even go to that church say, oh my, you need to get up to Bethel because they don't tolerate cancer. Where's that faith coming from? It's coming because they've heard the testimonies of so many other people who've been healed. So blind Bartimaeus, he gets up to Jesus. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, I want to see. And Jesus healed him. Now, if you have trouble with your eyes, anything wrong with your eyes, I ask you to stand. You may be legally blind without your glasses. You may be nearsighted, farsighted. You may have astigmatism. One night, we saw six women in a row healed of astigmatism. It wasn't when I prayed for them. It was a woman on our team. Actually, it was a former Presbyterian minister. Woman. Lately, we have been seeing not this kind of blindness. I mean, just eye problems. We don't count it unless you're either blind or legally blind. And for the last 3 years in a row, we've seen over 200 people healed of blindness or legal blindness on our teams. I'm going to ask you. And I'd love for you to picture this in your mind. 100,000 people, 95% are Hindus. In the middle of a Hindu city, with a half a block away, a big temple to a Hindu gods. And all of a sudden, 100,000 people are crying out at the top of their lungs. as they cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you say that together loudly?
Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Make it your prayer this time. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's calling you. Father, I bless their eyes. And whatever else they stood up for that they needed, they just believed that this was their opportunity. And as I'm talking this, and this applies to you, and you're still seated, stand up for the next prayer, the last prayer. God, they just believe that this is the chance. They could be healed right now as they cry out for mercy, that you're here, and you can hear their cry, and they're going to be healing, not only for the eyes, but Lord, for whatever else. In the name of Jesus, I pray, like that guy that was legally blind in Alaska, the hot hydraulic fluid, the hose broken up, sprayed in his eyes. He's legally blind. Lord, he felt the fire like Joshua did. He felt fire in his eyes, but it lasted all night. He couldn't even sleep because they were burning. Even when he had them closed, they were burning, and by morning he could see. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless the eyes. Glorify thy name in all the earth, and especially in this place. Glorify thy name tonight by healing people. In Jesus' name. Then it says Jesus touched him and he could see. I want you to picture Jesus right in front of you. And he's coming to you. And you want to see. And Jesus said, go. Your faith has brought healing to you. Lord, I bless the presence of God here. May they feel the actual presence of Jesus touching them. I've had this impression twice, so I'm going to go with it. I want you to lick your own fingers and touch them to the lids, to your eyelids. Oh Lord, let release power there in Jesus' name. Healing virtue flow into the eyes in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Take your hands away from your eyes. Check them out. Look at something that you couldn't have seen before very clearly. Try to read if you had trouble reading. Whatever it is, check your eyes out. It's really a good sign if your looks blurry if your glasses on. If you received healing in your eyes tonight, and you can see where you couldn't, or you're healed of something else during this last prayer, I want you to wave your hands like this. One, two, three, four. Now, we thank you for the four. Let me ask them, is there anybody that there's something happening in your eye? They feel funny? Like, when you look, there's something weird. Like the process, it's in process, but it's not done yet. If that's the case, put one hand up. There's something, my eyes feel funny, something odd going on. All right. Now, Lord, I bless what you're doing. There's four more. Raise your hand. We ask you to complete this. God, I believe that there's going to be more. It's going to be healed. Like the guy that was totally blind, white eyes, white corneas, white pupils, totally blind, over 50 years, prayed for. Nothing happened, neither the next day or the next day, but on the third morning, woke up with brand new pupils and corneas. We ask God for healing to come, that we would get reports of people coming to the pastor and saying, my eyes are better, my eyes are better. In Jesus' name. Okay, there was four more on the eyes. Now, everyone, stand up. All right, Jason, Mark, count this section. Leif, would you count this section? And Jonathan, would you count this section? All right, you need to kind of come up here, you guys, to see. Some are shorter than others. If you were healed of one thing, put one hand in the air. If you were healed of two things, any time this whole night, put it, one, for two or more, put your hand up. Keep them. This is for the whole night. The whole night. Put them up high because it's hard to see sometimes. Keep them up. Keep them up. How many? 31. How many did you get? Nine? That's 40. 32. That's 72. Huh? They had about 78, so maybe 70. Well, what did we say? We really wanted to have at least 60. No, and we said that two-thirds would be four, would one-third in the word of knowledge, one-third in the message, one-third at the end of the service when we lay hands and we begin to pray for each other. So we're at 72. And we haven't got to the last third yet. Now this is what I want to do. This school is to encourage you that God wants to use you to pray for the sick. And what I'm going to do is, though you still stand in need of a healing tonight, and you really want to receive, and there may be some others that say, well, you know, I could raise my hand, but I really would like to pray for somebody else to get healed. I'm going to see how God works this out. If you want to be prayed for healing, raise your hand. I'm going to ask people around you to turn to you, and there can be three or four praying, but one person do the interview and pray. Now listen closely. It's very important that when they're healed, 80% or more, I want you all to clap loudly. We're going to listen for those claps. We're going to believe there's going to be at least 20 to 30 again, so that before the night's over, we'll have over 100 people that got healed, which would be over 30%, which is not a good meeting, a very good meeting.